Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
You know, cocoa has been used throughout history as folk medicine, and it might actually have significant health benefits, according to studies by Harvard researchers. One of them is here with us today, Dr. Eric Ding of Harvard Medical School. So tell us about the health benefits of cocoa, Dr. Ding, because people have heard about it, but yet they don't exactly know what those health benefits and how they can get them from cocoa.
Indeed. Cocoa has actually lots of health benefits, and it ranges from heart disease to the brain, to many others. For example, for heart disease, we recently found that cocoa lowers the bad LDL cholesterol, raises the good HDL cholesterol, lowers your blood pressure, improves your blood flow, and may actually lower diabetes risk. So there's a wide range of health benefits just within heart disease and diabetes.
Now, so speak about cocoa itself. This is a plant that then is taken through a process. So what about it is good, and what is taken out in that process of us being able to ingest it?
Well, what's the key thing that is good is actually cocoa flavonoids. It's a micronutrient within cocoa products. So this is actually not an endorsement of all-you-can-eat chocolate bars for all you chocolate lovers out there. The key thing is that the cocoa flavonoids, these tiny compounds, they're part of a class of antioxidants called flavonoids. But cocoa flavonoids are very unique. So they're most commonly found in cocoa.
Now, so what makes them unique? Why are they unique compared to an antioxidant in an orange or something?
Well, there's many other flavonoids. Flavonoids is kind of like saying there's it's like a billion other molecules. But what's unique is actually, we don't know for sure, but we, like for example, it actually may, have lots of these unique properties on the brain, on the blood vessels that we don't see with many other flavonoids. So that's why I say cocoa flavonoids, specifically catechin, epicatechin, and procyanidin are the ones that we found have these unique products, effects, and we don't know why specifically, but we know they work.
Now, you mentioned also diabetes and possibly helping reduce the risk or even possibly to help control, because insulin, which regulates blood sugar, so when people are using or eating cocoa, are they finding that their blood sugar is staying more level? It's not shooting it up and down because it's a sugar product some of the time.
Well, so that's the one thing I want to clarify. First of all, cocoa flavonoids is not a sugar product per se. It's only a sugar product in a sugary chocolate
in
bar.
In something, that's right.
In a sugary chocolate bar, usually. So first of all, the effects are separate of sugar. So if you have too much sugar or too much chocolate bars per se, it could wipe out the effects. But for the diabetes, what the cocoa flavonoids, these micronutrients, what they do is actually they make your body respond better to insulin. So your insulin resistance decreases and your insulin sensitivity increases, which makes basically, it puts the blood sugar away and lowers blood sugar.
Now, how much would someone have to ingest to have that effect?
Well, so that actually gets a little complicated because on average, the average doses in our studies, they actually used super fortified doses. So it was 400 to 500 milligrams a day on average in these studies. However, that is equivalent to about 30 bars of milk chocolate, 100 gram bars, and 8 to 9 bars of dark chocolate, average dark. Now, there is variation. There are some you can get those super, super dark, bitter chocolate. And those, it would be like half that amount. But still, these are way too many chocolate bars that, as a nutritionist, that I would ever recommend to anyone.
Okay, so can we get some benefits? Like every night after dinner, Dr. Ding, I like to have, it's an 80%, so it's rather bitter. Some people don't like it that bitter. I could take 90 or 95 even, really. It's hard to find at the stores, though, of the dark chocolate, and I just eat a couple of squares. Is it pointless? Am I just giving myself that?
Not,
I love the taste.
It's not entirely pointless, but the key thing is if you're eating any bars, you to clamp down on the number of calories and sugar, because in a chocolate bar, all the calories, fat, and sugar can cancel out and overwhelm the benefits. So there are benefits to eating some, especially there are some with like fortified amounts of cocoa flavonoids. There's brands out there. But some does help, but again, only if they're very low in calories and sugar, which is, again, a very big negating effect of against these cocoa flavonoids and regular chocolate bars.
Well, one of the new kind of things similar to Starbucks is hot chocolate in places, you know, hot cocoa, and they claim to be using real pure cocoa, and then they sweeten it up with stevia or one of those kind of things. Is drinking a hot cocoa product the same? Are you getting more, less?
You are getting some. Again, the issue is you have to get the equivalent of either 30 bars of milk chocolate or 8 to 9 bars of dark chocolate. And these cocoa products do have some, but once you factor in how much, again, in these Starbucks, there's tons of cream, tons of other sugars usually, that it probably cancels out the effects. It's a wash. If you really want to get the benefits, you really want it from a calorie-free kind of way. Either, you know, very, very bitter dark chocolate, which is very hopefully low in calories, or there are supplements out there. And
now,
the supplements, there's a wide range. I'm not trying to push for
No, but that's okay, because that speaks to, I was going to ask you what the percentage is. You know, if I'm eating 80% or 85%, is that good? Or would it be better to just eat our chocolate whenever we sort of want and then take a supplement to get these pure benefits?
Yeah, so the supplements is one of those avenues. Like, there are supplements out there, like Cocoa Well has about 450 milligrams supplements. And these actually, this is about in the ballpark range of our studies, which had on average 400 to 500 milligrams a day. So that supplement line could be an option. Again, what I really want to emphasize is do not just use these exciting results of cocoa to go out there and binge on chocolate bars, which would be the absolute worst, because the benefits actually are many. There's also improved memory and brain function, and actually may potentially ward off Alzheimer's, potentially in long term. So again, to get the benefits, though, you don't want it to be in vain by eating your chocolate bar, because the chocolate sugars and calories really will wipe out the effects of these supplements.
And what about caffeine? Is it high in caffeine, even if it's a good quality dark chocolate?
Well, caffeine is a different issue. You know, if you want to, you know, I think they're independent. There's lots of chocolate products with high caffeine, and caffeine is obviously sometimes good for memory, but obviously caffeine in high amounts in a lot of these energy drinks is really dangerous. So I actually don't want to endorse caffeine per se, but they oftentimes co-bound together.
Okay, because, I mean, when you mentioned memory and, you know, sometimes...
So these effects are separate of caffeine. We've studied in randomized trials, and we know they're separate of caffeine, per se. It really is the cocoa flavonoids benefit.
Okay, and what about an aphrodisiac? Is there a little quality in there?
Well, so there's a funny little story. I don't know.
We only have about a minute.
Well, years ago, when they were studying... by the drug Viagra, they were actually studying to improve something called flow-mediated dilation of your blood vessels, thinking that might prevent heart disease. And then they accidentally stumbled on, Viagra has this other effect. And so one of the things that cocoa flavonoids also improves is also flow-mediated dilation. But there's no studies per se on erectile dysfunction that I'm aware of. So I don't want to really push...
So you don't want to necessarily say, but, you know, these are things that could be set for future studies, right?
Exactly. There's lots of emerging studies, but it does share certain pathways for improving your blood flow. So,
and it's also good for blood pressure, can lower cholesterol, and possibly even help with insulin resistance diabetes. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.